leaders and saviors of the wild ride to oblivion and ecstasy.
Good! Now we four are met. Let us free the universe with our own peculiar brand of heavy metal.
Why did you go to fucking art college then?
Well, now I've got a jolly stiff arm. We've been through this 1.5 times. You must have enough to put on your silly record.
Absolutely.
I'm not a fucking ignorant person.
Well, I am.
About metal. Right, we're recording, we're rolling, Jimmy, we're rolling. Okay. Okay. How do we do this again? Welcome back, listeners. God.
Smooth.
Welcome back, rockers and metalheads.
Have we played the theme tune? Has that happened before this?
Last episode was the premiere.
Yeah, no, no, that. But
the theme tune.
Has it like come before, or do we say like welcome and then it goes?
No, I've got a good idea for how I'm going to use the theme tune this time, but it depends on what we talk about during the episode.
Oh.
But yeah, I'll tell you after.
No, don't bother.
don't bother. Don't care.
I was mildly interested and. No, I'm not.
Okay, how have you been?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Very nice. You had a nice day.
Yeah, it's been all
right. You went really high then.
It's been a day where it's 6:10 and I've got some wine, so it's been that day.
Nice.
Have
you got one of those signs that says it's wine o'clock? Wine's Day.
Oh, Wine's Day is quite a good one. Although it's Thursday, isn't it?
It is Thursday, yeah. But don't tell anyone. It's supposed to be Wednesday.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, welcome to Can I Pod with Madness, episode 15, I believe. Yeesh. This is 15. This is the podcast that everyone's talking about, where we review... old issues of Kerrang and Metal Hammer and maybe other things we haven't got to yet, from the 80s, the greatest decade. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, although 90s, though, I'm getting quite nostalgic for the 90s.
Are we going to do some 90s Kerrangs at some point?
Well, I can do, but it's all just going to be grunge nonsense.
Not necessarily. I think there's going to be some, like, hair metal bands.
I was thinking more like Friends and Curtis Stigers and stuff like that.
We can talk about Curtis Stigers if you want.
Simply Red, Michael Bolton. He spans every decade.
Do you know a good fact about Friends, right? And we're watching Friends now.
We're re-watching Friends now. This is not 80s or metal, so don't switch off. I'm not going to talk about Friends all the time, but... Don't you find when you rewatch it, you tend to like a different character more or a different way? Like the very last time that we watched it all the way through, I was dead into Ross for some reason. Not like fancying, just thought, oh, he's the best character.
Yeah.
But like now, I think I'm more thinking Chandler. I don't know.
Mm.
But it's just weird and how it changes. Maybe it's the stage of life whether you're relating to someone more at that stage, maybe.
Yeah, last time I watched it, I really disliked that one where Phoebe was pretending to not believe in evolution. I don't think I realised that halfway through she changes her opinion. But I was really annoyed with it. And like this time, I'm thinking, okay. Oh no, she's just playing. She's just having fun with it, isn't she?
Yeah.
Okay, so my fact about Friends.
Okay.
And I might have been hallucinating. I think it was like one of the many lockdowns, wasn't it? We were watching it in the first time we rewatched it.
Yeah.
And we've obviously not got to that point yet because I've been looking out for it. But on Monica's fridge, at some point in that series, she has the cover of Return to Olympus by Malfunction, right?
Okay.
So Malfunction were just a two-man group from Seattle, and they became Mother Love Bone. Right. And Mother Love Bone became Pearl Jam, right? But
I didn't know that.
This is, there's never a close up, but I'm convinced that's what it is. But it's already like 95 or 96. So it's like several years after that would have been current. You know what? And Monica does not seem like someone who would have been into, they're sort of like glam rock meets Kiss meets sort of punk. I'll point it out when we see, I could be completely wrong about it, but I'm convinced that that's it.
Well, fun fact, did you know that they've got a Yorkshire tea tin on their shelf?
Yes, because you pointed that out, yeah.
And we had that exact tin full of sewing stuff, you know, like you do. But yeah, how weird is that? It was the gold metal Yorkshire tea tin that they gave away, you know, like when Tea Bags obviously had the thing where you could buy the Yorkshire tea tin, which I don't think they've done for a while now. But yeah, how weird is that?
So like super exotic in New York.
Yeah, and I don't think it was after they'd been to London. I think it's before that. Because obviously it makes sense if they go to London for Ross's wedding and then they get it. That would make sense, wouldn't it? But I think it's before that. Just interesting. Well, I mean, it's possibly not interesting, but it kind of is interesting.
I mean, anything you notice is interesting, isn't it? I mean, the other day, I think it was Joey's room.
To the Friends podcast.
I'm positive. Again, you don't see this stuff close up, but I was positive that there's a wind-up Jack Nicholson Joker from the first Batman movie.
He said that, yeah.
Yeah, like a tin toy. And I'm sure it just sort of had the look of Jack Nicholson, even though it was, you know, in the background and probably wasn't that at all. But it is.
But why wouldn't it have been that? It could be.
It could, yeah, it could be. I mean, if you know, write in, let us know.
Let us know. What are your opinions on Friends? Don't say wow, you know, don't do that. Just
hey,
don't.
Look, all
if,
opinions.
If you don't like Friends, just move along. We don't need to have a conversation about it.
So other than Friends from, 7 years after the...
It's still a million years ago. We're still talking about old things now. This is classed as retro.
Yeah, this is a nostalgia podcast, isn't it? Because we talk about, when we veer off from the magazines that we're talking about, we still talk about old shit, don't we?
Well, that's because we don't know
know any new shit.
Yeah.
So this week, I've got an issue of Kerrang from October the 10th, 1987.
Okay.
But before we go into that, I just wanted to go through some of the charts with you. And I think we've looked at a similar chart to this, so I won't go through everything. So the Bee Gees were at number one with You Win Again, right? You remember that song. Kiss, our favourites. Crazy, Crazy Nights, it was number five.
Nice.
Michael Jackson's Bad was at number six. At number seven and number nine was I Found Lovin', right? By the Fatback Band and Steve Walsh, right?
Okay.
And do you want to tell our listeners who might not know DJ Steve Walsh?
Well, I'd say if you don't know Steve Walsh, I would look up YouTube, Limmy and Steve Walsh, and then that'll tell you everything you need to. I mean, it probably won't tell you everything you need to know, but it'll tell you enough.
It'll tell you. It might be not what you want, but it is what you need to watch his video.
I mean, it's not bad, but maybe I've just heard it so many times now that I've sort of got desensitized to his particular. I mean, he's an all right singer.
He's an all right singer, but he was a DJ who. I think that record is based on his late night gigs where he would sing along to backing tracks, but he shouts you what over the top of like classic soul numbers.
Which, yeah, obviously. Well, he's putting his spin on it, isn't
I he? Guess is what he did on his radio show, but anyway. So number 11, Sisters of Mercy, This Corrosion. Do you like that song? Do you know that song?
Sing it.
Right, okay. So it goes, hey now.
Oh, yeah.
Sing this clutch, right. So that's not metal, but it's sort of Kerrang adjacent, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's like goth, but it's produced by Jim Steinman, and it's like this big sort of epic production. number, which, you know, I mean, that stood out to me. I wanted to mention it. I'm writing down the number, actually. I did actually save the link of the UK chart. The computer's just gone to sleep, because of course it has. I'm going to have to cut this shit out.
Professional.
We're professional podcasters. Right, so somewhere in the not sort of mid reaches of the chart is a song, Utapau, number 31, Heart and Soul. So there's this song, Hey Matthew, by Carol Fialka. Do you know that song?
I don't think so.
I feel like this is something Limmy's talked about, but I googled Limmy, Hey Matthew, and nothing came out. So I'm gonna play you this song.
I was gonna say, oh look, Alice Cooper, but it's on. You created that.
It's on one of our many playlists. If this is your first episode, you're probably thinking, why the fuck are they talking about Friends and Steve Walsh?
Because metal. Get over yourself.
Look, you can't live on metal alone. There's other stuff in the world, isn't there?
Yes.
It's 90% metal, 10% other shit. Every episode we make a YouTube playlist of some of the stuff we talk about. Got This Corrosion on there. But so, yeah, this weird novelty hit by this guy called Carol Fialka.
Grammarly.
Grammarly. So you get the idea.
Right. This feels like some sort of painful art installation that's meant to mean something, and actually it's just a little bit painful for everyone involved.
Well, it's like, TV's bad, isn't it? You're making kids watch TV and it's all violence and shit. Do you not remember that?
No.
It was...
blocked it out.
Okay. Well, yeah, there's a little boy in a Spider-Man outfit, which is a pretty good Spider-Man outfit. And he's commenting on the TV of the 80s and the A-Team and shit. He says A-Team
a lot. Well,
he's just
listing TV programs. That's not really a comment.
Yeah. But I'm surprised you don't remember that. Okay. There you go. Hey, Matthew, Carol Fialka.
Is that it? You were just telling me about it.
I thought you'd go, oh, yeah, this.
No, God, no.
All right. So let's...
A kid will be a grown man now.
I know. Mental. You know, when they made Spider-Man No Way Home, you know, the one that Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland in, I wanted them to put him in it just... I mean, maybe he's in Across the Spider-Verse, which we've not seen.
Maybe.
Okay, so let's look at this issue of Kerrang. It's number 157. Did you read the music papers from the back and to the front? And who's this on the cover?
X-Rose.
So, like, this is Axl Rose in his sort of, you know, he's got a lot of disguises, right? This is his Welcome to the Jungle disguise, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, the only time you ever saw him with, like, big backcomb hair was Welcome to the Jungle. So, in addition to that...
Have they blurred out her on his tattoo?
That's not blurred.
Oh, I thought she had boobs out.
he's got a sexy woman on his arm, but I don't think, I think it's just a face. I don't think there was a body involved.
Oh, okay. It was just the way that the magazine was covered. I thought she had boobs out and they'd blurred it.
Well, you know, maybe he added to it later on.
Maybe. I don't think so.
So in this issue, Halloween, Death Angel, Motley Crue, Then Jericho, Jethro Tull, Faster Pussycat, Heart, Dio, UK tour dates, and win a compact disc player. So that's
pretty good.
That is exciting. Yeah, so in the news section, do you remember the Hofmeister, Hofmeister Bear?
Yeah.
There's a lot of sort of adverts of banks and stuff, and like getting young people to have bank accounts.
That's because 80s capitalism.
It was big, a thing, wasn't it?
Big money. Like Wall Street.
The Midland Bank had those pigs.
Yeah.
But this is get an LP for naught pence. And the Hofmeister Bear, who was like supposed to be like a kind of cool character that you're supposed to like.
Oh, of course he's cool. Look at his hat.
He's got a little, well, he's got like an Arthur Daly
hat. He looks
like
he's going to, did you see that scar dancing thing I sent you the other day? I forgot to mention when I sent it to you that it was my like worst nightmare. For some reason, scar dancing just.
It was one step beyond in three different versions, wasn't it?
Yeah, just. I'm not a fan of scar dancing.
I didn't know it was a cover. I thought it was just Madness had done it. And I guess some American scar punk band also did it.
But he looked like the sort of man or bear who would do some scar dancing.
But the jacket's not very scar, is it? The jacket's pure 80s.
Well, you've got to wear a coat if you're going out. If he's in a nightclub, he's not going to be wearing the jacket, is
he? But would Scar Boys have worn?
I don't know.
Obviously, we need to do a bit of research. Oh, no. Yeah, I missed something. Oh, fuck, I haven't got my glasses. I need to get my glasses. Just talk amongst yourselves. Right,
sorry. Edit that bit out.
Oh, I edit nothing. I always say I'm going to edit everything, I never do. So Def Jam will issue the soundtrack for the movie Less Than Zero in the US before mid-October. So have you ever seen the film Less Than Zero?
No, don't think so.
It's based on the cult novel by Bret Easton Ellis, which deals with dissolute, wealthy Los Angeles teenagers leading shallow lives riddled with drugs and immorality. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the sort of film you like because Robert Downey Jr. is in it and like all people of that generation, like fucking Star, Jamie Gertz is in it. But the soundtrack includes Inagada Da Vida by Slayer, originally recorded by Iron Butterfly, Rock and Roll All Night by Poison, a cover of the Kiss classic. You don't really need to say that, do they? And Rockin' Pneumonia and the Boogie Woogie Flu by Aerosmith, first recorded by Huey Smith. So it's all cover versions. And it's also got Hazy Shade of Winter by the Bangles. So, you know, that video, I don't know if you've ever seen it, also on the playlist.
Well, we should watch this film.
I was going to say, because, no, that's the trailer. This not a sponsorship. I'll just turn it down a bit. Yeah, obviously this has got all bits from the film in. So it's so young, sexy Iron Man's in it.
Come on, he's sexy whatever age he is.
True.
Has it got Andrew McCarthy?
Yeah.
Oh my God, why have we not watched this?
Mannequins.
We can have Bernie's, come on. Do you remember watching something and I was positive it was Andrew McCarthy? It wasn't. It was Ant-Man. Do you remember?
Who did you think was Andrew McCarthy?
One of the evil suits in Ant-Man. You know, those people who work at the places.
Yeah.
Bad, the office. The bad office. And one of the men is Andrew McCarthy, but it's apparently not, but I think it is.
Maybe it's his son or something.
What? No. It's the same age as him.
Oh, he's an older man who looks like Andrew McCarthy.
Yeah. And we've had this conversation and I said, and we looked it up and it wasn't. And I was like, but I'm sure it is, though.
He changed his name for that one film.
Well, look, right, I'll Google. Sure, it was Ant-Man. Ant-Man cast. No.
Was he a famous actor?
Well, yeah, he's Andrew McCarthy. No. Him, Martin Donovan.
Who?
Andrew McCarthy. Well, apparently Martin Donovan. This is like, you know how people think Jackson's still alive and stuff. I think this, I mean, Andrew McCarthy isn't dead. So I don't know why he's decided to. Now, that's him younger.
Martin Donovan.
See,
okay.
Same guy.
Oh, right. Yeah, I remember this guy.
Yeah, but look at him.
What else has he been in? He's been in loads of shit.
Weekend at Bernie's, 1, 2, and Mannequin. Look at him.
What has he actually been in? Because that's going to bother me.
Look at that. Look at that.
He's
uncanny.
He's similar.
Stop it.
I went on the Wikipedia page for Ant-Man. And it's also, see also, list of films featuring miniature people.
Ah, oh, Boas. Anyway, I don't know how. Because we write, I saw Andrew McCarthy.
Yeah.
Right, got it.
So also, this leads into the next feature. Also, Joan Jett is on the soundtrack. Yeah, she's doing an original song. But she says some stuff in this feature that I quite liked. So Joan says she likes covering other people's songs because, quote, I'm not the only person in the world who writes good Joan Jett songs. I Love Rock and Roll was a great Joan Jett song. It was perfect for me, but I didn't write it. That Twisted Sister a couple of years back, we're not going to take it. That would have been perfect for me. So would You Gotta Fight for Your Right to Party by the Beastie Boys. There's a lot of great material out there. It's just a case of finding it. That seems like a really sort of nice, like most artists wouldn't say that. Most artists would be like, of course, I write all the best songs.
Yeah.
She talks about my acting because, you know, that film with Michael J. Fox that she did, that was her first big acting role. I mean, we talked about it on another episode. Light of Day, where she plays a rocker and he's her brother.
Okay.
you got no memory of this. I mean, it's not a well-known film, but we did have a long conversation about it.
We need a phrase for when it's one of these situations where apparently you've been talking to my alter ego.
We need a safe word.
I wasn't there. I think it's just called age.
It's a powerful human drama and co-starring Michael J. Fox. She says, I always used to be offered the part of some weirded out 27th century space queen.
Oh, always.
Okay. I mean, I want to know more about all these films that feature 27th century space queens. But there you go. So that's Joan Jett. Our next feature is about Jethro Tull.
How exciting.
So, you are not a fan of Jethro Tull.
No, that's mean. I'm not a fan. I'm just not a fan.
Have you never heard any? Because obviously, listeners, I'm a fucking Tull obsessive.
Hmm.
So, you'll have heard me listening to their stuff, right? So, have you never heard anything that jangled your bell?
Solstice. Bells.
I mean, that's a good start.
Now it's a start to something here. But because it's Christmas. I mean
it's not
I'm
like...
not gonna there's certain Christmas songs that are sung by people who are now cancelled, and they're good Christmas songs.
Oh, but right.
I'm saying it basically, my threshold is pretty low. It's a Christmas song, I'm going to like it. I like the Bass Hunter Jingle Bells. If you've not heard Bass Hunter's Jingle Bells, honestly, check it out because that is good.
But Bass,
oh, ho, ho.
Bass Hunter's not been cancelled, though, has he?
No.
But yeah, it's and Cheeky Girls Christmas. There's not a bad Christmas.
But you don't like the Cheeky Girls even Cheeky Christmas.
Craig from Big Brother.
At this time of year.
That one.
I mean, that was a good rendition.
Yeah.
It sounded like him.
I know it did. Yeah, so. But, so no, it's a good Christmas song, but I'm just saying my bar's pretty low.
To go back to talking about people who've been cancelled, Joan Jett has covered a song by a popular artist from the 70s who is now cancelled, who had a Christmas song.
Big hair.
Big hair, big shoulders.
Yeah, okay.
That guy. But yeah, there's a Jethro Tull Christmas album.
Is
that? Yeah.
It also, yeah, that's fine.
You must have noticed me putting more than Solstice Bells on our Christmas playlist.
You put some nonsense on our Christmas playlist.
Yeah.
There was that one year where you were meant to be putting songs on it, obviously, and then you just put something really weird, like a sort of, I can't remember, it was some sort of 20-minute television program or something.
I put clips. I put, like, Christmassy clips, and I put, like BBC announcements and stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, we like that. Yeah. We've spent evenings watching BBC. Are they called idents?
Yeah.
Idents.
And, like, continuity between programs of people.
We've watched videos of that.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan, but it needs to be.
For some of our more normal listeners, do you want to explain the appeal of watching old YouTube clips of BBC continuity announcements?
Just makes you feel good, doesn't it? It's
yeah.
Nice.
Nostalgia.
It's just nice. And you do a very good impression. Do an impression.
Maybe. Yeah, I'll do it later and cut it in.
Just do it.
Okay, well, I mean, the sort of thing you're talking about is it's always 80s.
Yeah, and they're always old, very, very well-spoken gentlemen.
It's before the BBC or the ITV had regional accents. It was, you know, you had to sound like the Queen to talk on television. And they all say things like, Christmas entertainment on BBC Two. At 6:30, the Two Ronnie's Christmas special. With the Kiritikan Hour. It's that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll cut in an actual one. I mean, people don't want to hear me do it.
No, keeping yours is better. I like yours.
Mm. Get very self-conscious.
It's one of my favourite things you do in that.
That's what's keeping us together, my BBC continuity announcement.
Part of it, yeah.
The Tull have got, like, they've got a song called A Christmas Song and they've got a song called Another Christmas Song. And then
I can see the pattern.
They released a whole album of Christmas songs. They
called Christmas songs.
There's one called Birthday Card at Christmas.
No one's a birthday Christmas.
Last Man at the Party. That's another one.
Jesus.
But none of them as good as Solstice Bells.
Right.
Okay. So this article.
Do they do Last Christmas?
They don't do. Mm. No. No. They do like. You know, traditional Christmas songs in a sort of folky, jazzy, you know, they do We Three Kings.
Flutes and shit,
yeah. Yeah, pretty good. You should listen to it. I mean, I have made you listen to it in the past, but you just, obviously tune just blocked out. It out. So this article is about the fact that they're kind of coming up on their 20th anniversary and they're basically saying they're all old men. So I looked it up. And Ian Anderson, at this stage, he was 40.
He's 40 there?
As an old man, he's 40. So he's
okay, cool.
Slightly younger than you.
Piss off.
A lot younger than me. But the funny thing, have you seen him recently? He's 75 now, right? He looks all right.
I mean, not to keep him out of Friends, but Jethro Tull are mentioned in Friends.
Are they?
Yeah, Phoebe talks about him. And she talks about, I think she talks about sleeping with him or something. And then one of them goes, aren't Jethro Tull a band? Because she sort of talks about like an individual and she goes, yes, they are, or something.
We haven't got to that one yet.
But I don't think I've imagined that.
No, now you say it, that, yeah. that rings a bell. But that's him at 75. He looks
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he looks good there.
I mean, his voice is gone. But
that whistle blowing, flute blowing.
Well, he wrecked his voice in about 1984. And the whole thing is they did an album called Crest of a Nave, which was kind of a comeback because they did some sort of electronic stuff in the 80s. And then this one was a bit more rocky and bluesy, but people said it was like Dire Straits because he's singing lower and it's just a bit more sort of slow. I mean, it's proper dad rock. My dad actually liked it.
Right.
Because my dad liked the blues. And I don't think he would have been interested in Jethro Tull's like prog rock or folk rock periods, but he liked a well-played guitar. So he had Crest of a Nave on tape. He had 20 Years of Jethro Tull, which is the box set. And I mean, he might have been a bit dyslexic because he wrote Jethro Tuff, T-O-double-F on the tape. So I always think,
T-O-double-F.
Okay. So I always sort of think Jethro Tuff. yeah, so that's my Jethro Tull story. And there's a cat in the background.
Obviously.
Jethro Tull. Well, Ian Anderson, big fan of cats.
Right.
Big fan of cats.
Oh, wow.
And he named a solo album after one of his cats called Rupee. Rupee's Dance.
We do that.
And for some reason, they've printed a photo from 1976, I believe, which is Ian Anderson with... Well, I mean, do you want to describe this?
Well, it's a bunch of lady with their breasticles out.
But they've got, like, things over the nipples.
Nipple tassels.
That's actually Pan's People. They wrote some music for Pan's People to dance to. And, yeah, I guess that was a promotion image for that. So moving,
and so people fancied him back in the day. I can understand people fancying him now. Like, he looks good, nice little. He's done that fancy thing with his scarf that I taught you how to do. He's done his scarf nice. He's got a nice jacket on. Like, he'd take you to a nice coffee place, wouldn't he, and get you coffee and probably a pastry. Nice, but younger days. Well, I mean, like, I can talk my hair at the moment, but
it's funny that we've stopped on this photo because the headline that goes along with it is, quote, "Nobody could deny I looked great in those tights." He wore tights a lot in the 70s.
I know. I think some people could.
That's him.
It's just not a look that appeals to me.
That's really early on. That's like blues period. Great coat.
If straighteners had never been invented, my hair would not be dissimilar to that. But
you wouldn't have a beard and a flute, though.
Yeah. I wouldn't have a flute. Good attempt at a beard.
So around about this time, or maybe a little bit after, there was a documentary called Fish and Sheep and Rock and Roll. And it was on Channel 4, and I'll put it on the playlist. And
you're going to say you're going to make me watch it.
It's an hour of... There's about 10 minutes of music in it and 50 minutes of Ian Anderson on the phone talking about his farm because he bought a salmon farm in like the late 70s.
Like a fishing one.
And like there's this whole program and it's hard to know who it's aimed at because it's just long...
People like your dad.
Boring stuff about farming. But my dad doesn't...
Like fishing?
Yeah, but not fish farming.
I don't know what fishermen like, probably. You've got some interest in it.
Maybe they were thinking, yeah, but people who were like Jethro Tull would want to see the band and hear the band.
So he had a salmon fish farm?
Yeah, yeah. For many years, I don't think he's got it anymore.
And a fish farm's just somewhere where they breed fish and eat them?
Well, they sell them to... Apparently, they were the main supplier for salmon in the UK for like places like Marks and Spencer's and stuff. Well, I mean, I know your feelings on any kind of farming, so it's not
side
it's,
eye.
It's not great. It's not great, but you know. So there you
I'd
go.
I'd expect more from a tight wearing flute player. If you're not the biggest fucking hippie on the planet and you look like that, then you're doing something wrong. You should be more of a hippie than I am.
Well, I think people...
Different times. Different times.
Yeah, people
different
didn't times. Know as much back then.
Yeah.
So talking of different times...
Oh, God.
We get, like, a very interesting article about Motley Crue. So, obviously, we love a bit of the Crue on this podcast, don't we? We talk obviously. About the Crue all the fucking time. This article's got loads of stuff I've never heard before. And it's quite well written, and there's a reason for that, but we'll get to it. So it mentions that they've got their own Learjet. I think this is the Girls tour. They've got their own Learjet, and the nose of the Learjet was going to be tattooed with the new Motley insignia, a bent over blonde stripper in garters.
Okay.
Sadly, not a photograph of that.
We can all imagine it.
The Behave. Graphic design is, it's red lettering on a dark blue background, so it's very hard to read.
I was reading Heat at the hairdressers the other day, and they still do stuff like that.
Do they?
They had really bad text on, and it was like badly printed. And I just thought...
Was it as bad as this? Because I literally can't read some of this.
It was really bad, and it really surprised me. So Heat, what do you do? I mean, don't read Heat, but yeah, I mean, red small text on a blue gradient background is fun. Enjoy.
I mean, where it gets lighter, you can sort of read it. I will try with this bit.
Maybe you need young eyes.
Young eyes. During the trip, the Crue admire the many swimming pools speckling the landscape below.
Speckling the landscape below, how poetic.
Nikki Six, who as chief songwriter is the acknowledged brains of the outfit, announces, quote, "I want a pool the shape of a pussy."
Okay. It went from poetic to exactly what you'd expect.
A loud beeping sound from the cockpit reminds the Crue of flying hijinks from the band's six-year past, like the time Vince Neil took the pilot's controls and nearly crashed into another plane.
Fucking hell.
Why would you let Vince Neil anywhere near a fucking plane?
I would be asking at what point in history this was and maybe suggesting that, yeah, we steer Vince Neil to safer hobbies.
Yeah, I mean, this is after that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All the time.
Boys will be boys, eh?
All the time, the group's plane lost power and the wheels had to be manually cranked down. Quote, "We were all going, oh my fucking God, our career's over," says Nikki Six.
Imagine being on a plane and Vince Neil takes it. I would throw myself out of that plane and just save the hassle of the next 5 seconds of me going down with it. I wouldn't actually. No, I wouldn't get in a plane with Motley Crue because that would be stupid.
Yeah, it's a death wish. There's some good pull-out quotes with the photos. So Mick Mars, quote, "My brains are oatmeal."
Same.
Vince Neil.
I relate to Mick Mars now. Old and just slightly forgetful.
Vince Neil, "If the Crue hadn't happened, quote, I would be one of those guys in Hawaii that rents you jet skis."
Yeah, he totally would.
Tommy Lee, quote, "I had a dream. I wanted to play the drums upside down." And Nikki Six, quote, "I don't understand U2's music. It's too serious. They bum me out."
Okay.
I mean, I can relate with some of it. Occasionally, the Crue do make a suggestion. The liner notes on Theatre of Pain asked fans to send in pictures. Quote, "You know what kind we like."
Oh, my God.
The band received 4,000 Polaroids of body parts.
Is that all?
"I've always thought of us as the psychiatrists of rock and roll," says Six, "because the kids come to see us, get all this anxiety and pent-up aggression out. That hour and a half is theirs. No one can take it away. No parent can tell them to turn it down."
When I've needed to psych myself up for, you know, things, I've listened to Motley Crue, so I fully agree with that.
It says... Originally, the band had planned on, this is on stage, they planned to emerge from between a giant woman's legs.
Hot.
It quotes some lyrics. right? And I mean, this is sort of beyond the pale now.
Oh, okay.
But they published it. She's only 15. She's the reason I can't sleep. You say illegal. I say legal's never been my scene.
What song's that from?
All in the Name of.
Okay.
Do you know that song? So they're talking about Vince Neil. To be interviewed, he has to be pried from chatting up two leggy models who are staying in the room next door. He marvels that even though the models had spent the entire previous night hanging around in his room, they didn't tear off his clothes. It's okay, he says, with a gleeful laugh, laying the foundation before you build the skyscraper. And it says he still calls everyone dude and skateboards backstage. In the midday, in the blazing Arizona heat, Mick Mars is nursing a hangover. He's got the curtains drawn, watching an episode of Kung Fu on TV. Mars, the least social of the crew, looks like Paul Williams wearing an Adams Family wig. Born in Indiana, the son of a factory foreman, Mick moved to California when he was 8. He changed his name, he says, because the initials were B-A-D, and it was bad luck for me. Twice divorced, he says he's, quote, real picky about girls. There's too much disease going around.
I would want to know whether he divorced them or whether they divorced him.
His hobbies are his Corvette and dabbling in his 8-track home studio, though he can quote extensively from Penthouse's forum, he admits. I'm not too big on reading. Okay, there's some more good quotes. Tommy Lee has the most tattoos of anyone in the band. I like the fact they had to explain what tats.
I was going to say, I wouldn't have understood.
He's now married to Heather Locklear. Marriage is great. It's very cool, says the man who admits he used to fuck anything with a pulse. If I wasn't married, I'd probably be dead. The partying and stuff. Even now he's a family man, Lee has no problems with the image of women that the band projects. Quote, it never enters my mind. I really don't think about anything. I just do it. No one in Motley Crue is wearing underpants. So before sliding into his leather stage pants for a photo shoot, Nikki Sixx wipes his rear with a towel, which he then tosses at his bandmates, who flee in all directions. We're on tour again, cries Vince Neil.
Oh my God.
Continued on page 38.
Oh, grim.
One result of Nikki Sixx's addiction, or his problems with addiction, is the song Dancing on Glass, which declares, I've been through hell and I'm never going back to Dancing on Glass. Quote, I'm not mellowing out, he says. I'm just street smart about it.
Street smarts.
Mellowing out would kill the Motley image, but how long can it continue? Sixx now lives surrounded by antiques in a spotless house. Something warm about old things, he says. And his impending marriage to Vanity seemed to dampen his self-destruct views. So they talk about his marriage to Vanity, who was like one of Prince's protégés in the dirt. And obviously that all went terribly wrong. But at this point, obviously it's, you know, it's all going kind of quite nicely. So I'll just finish off with the end of the article. It's 5 p.m. the day before the show in Phoenix, and Nikki Sixx is poolside, drinking a Bloody Mary and eating a platter of shrimp. A proud mother brings over her 4-year-old son, Tommy, to meet him. Quote, he knows all your music, she says. Hi, Tommy, says Nikki, shaking his tiny hand. What do you want to be when you grow up? Tommy, shied into muteness, shrugs. Then Nikki asks, a rock star? Then the little boy nods. Sixx is ecstatic. You don't want to be a fireman or the president? Tommy shakes his head no. Why is that? So you can get all the girls? Tommy grins. You can do whatever you want, says Sixx, clearly happy to be preaching his main message to such a ready convert. Go jump in the pool with all your clothes on. Tommy hesitates, frowning slightly. He looks at the pool, then at his mother, then at Sixx. Go for it, Sixx urges. Tommy's mother's smile tightens. That's too deep for you, she says, and grabs his arm, leading him off. I love kids, Sixx says fondly as he watches them walk away. So that says, reproduced by kind permission of Rolling Stone magazine. So the best article we've ever had about Motley Crue and Kerrang! Right. was from a different magazine.
Okay.
But, you know, all good stuff.
We should get Rolling Stones from the time. Although yeah. no one gave me them, so we have to buy them.
Well, I think they sort of, when it comes to metal, they're not super interested, are they? You get the odd.
They'll have the odd one.
I mean, I guess at the time it was the most popular thing, wasn't it? So, you know. But that article seemed a bit like someone just sort of dipping their toe into the world of the Crue rather than...
Yeah, true.
So I want to read you this review. There's a review of Bad News, right?
Okay.
And this is by Mick Wall. And I'm going to read the whole thing. But for a purpose, I think it's very important
to get
into this. The funniest thing about all the Bad News, the funniest thing about this Bad News album is the amount of poison it's already stirred up. I could not believe Howard Johnson's review of them of Reading this year. I could believe he hated them. Sure, why not? I could not understand his bitterness, though. The assertion between the lines that Bad News was some sort of rip-off, a joke stretched out of recognition, the only motivation behind it of cold, hard greed. Then John Hotton, another Kerrang! Writer, stood in the pub and told me he thought Bad News were, quote, an insult to the real metal fans. And Dante Benuto, another Kerrang! Writer, wondered aloud whether it was right to charge people money to have the piss taken out of them when all they really wanted was for a band to come on and kick the shit out of them. The point they're all missing is that Bad News don't just laugh at heavy metal and its followers, they laugh with them. And he makes the point that the More Bad News comic strip film hasn't actually been on yet, no one's seen him, although the original one, Bad News Tour, had been on. In common with film Spinal Tap, it's the best jokes in More Bad News are so subtle only a real heavy metal fan or musician would find them truly funny. So right on the nose is More Bad News. That when I got the chance, I asked Aid Edmondson, writer, director, and all-round brains behind the concept, whether he'd ever been seriously into heavy metal. Of course, he cried. I've seriously been into that kind of music for years. I learned to play guitar and dreamed of being in a rock band long before I got seriously into comedy. To be honest, half the reason I wanted to get a pastiche heavy metal band together was in the first place because I knew it was the only way I was ever going to get to play in some sort of band on stage. It's like what they say about the Irish telling the best Irish jokes. A good look at the detailed and witty gatefold sleeves of this album. I mean, he really raves about this and he's really, really sort of enjoying the whole thing. But I find it sort of baffling that, like, and you've seen it in some of the letters as well, people saying, oh, it's an insult. And it's like, I can't understand, like, heavy metal fans being so uptight about, you know, it's not someone taking the piss out of, they're not taking the piss out of Iron Maiden.
But there's
Maiden
always some people who take themselves a bit too seriously at some stage in their life. And that's just, just people who are taking things a little bit too seriously.
Yeah, and in 1987, I absolutely took myself too seriously, and for many years after that, and probably still now. But, like, surely everyone reading this would have watched The Young Ones and been into the comic strip. And
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think we need to watch More Bad News again because it is a classic of the genre, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's been a million years since I watched it.
It has been a very long time.
I don't remember anything about it.
Well, they played they actually played Donington in real life and they filmed that.
Right.
But they, I mean, spoiler alert for More Bad News, they sort of make out that the crowd charge the stage and, like, beat the shit out of them and slit Vin Fuego's throat and stuff. Very funny. But yeah, we're big fans of Bad News. Did you ever watch any of the other comic strip films?
We had Five Go Mad in Dorset on VHS that we taped off the telly. But I don't really remember. I think because at that point I liked The Young Ones, that felt too weird and different. I wasn't interested.
Yeah, I remember watching them back, and a lot of them, they're sort of clever, but they're not super funny.
I think I was probably a little bit too young,
yeah,
to maybe appreciate those. Yeah. Whereas obviously you don't have to be very old to appreciate young ones.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Even though there's jokes that go over your head, isn't there, in the young ones?
Oh God, like, yeah, yeah. I think what I always remember was, I mean, obviously I always used to like it, but I always used to remember where it just pans to the sink. And I can't remember what it is. It's like something in the sink, something dirty in the sink, some plates are talking to each other or something. And I remember just thinking, like, what is this? But in a good way.
In a good way.
Yeah.
But I think your heart is really with Bottom, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it was the young ones, and I liked Bottom, but I think, I mean, you probably remember when Bottom was first on, don't you? Yeah, we should do a whole episode about Bottom and the young ones. I mean, I always go on about this, but in the young ones, Vivian is a punk, but he's always got like Motorhead and Rush t-shirts and Saxon and like stuff that doesn't seem very punk, and Hawkwind and
very metal.
Yeah, very metal, exactly. there's a review of Bridge of Spies by T'Pau. What's your favourite song by T'Pau? Do you like anything by T'Pau?
Yeah.
Trying to be your hands.
Well, it's a good song.
It's a, you know, smooth ballad, isn't it?
I mean, you know, driving home, it's on. You're going to have a nice time.
I like the song Valentine, right, which is not mentioned here.
You might have to sing that to me.
It goes, I'll cut it because I can't sing like Carol Decker.
Come on.
It goes. It wasn't as big a hit. It was a single, but it wasn't.
No offense to you singing, but I don't recognise it from that.
Right.
Why is she called T'Pau?
They're named after a character from the original Star Trek. I believe it was Spock was supposed to have an arranged marriage to a woman on Vulcan, and she was called T'Pau.
Oh no,
I'm absolutely wrong. She was called T'Pring, right? T'Pau was the high priestess who was going to marry them.
Right.
There you go. There's some Star Trek trivia for you.
So were they big Star Trek fans?
I mean, must have been. Or maybe they just thought it was an interesting name.
It is an interesting name.
This is exactly how I sang it.
Do you like this?
Yes. And I'll tell you why, right?
Okay.
This sounds exactly like a Marillion record, right? Right, if you pitched her vocals down a bit and if the guitar was better, it would exactly be a Marillion record. And my theory is, right, because obviously Marillion were like super big in like mid-80s. This is just getting into the late 80s. They saw that. They thought, we'll have a bit of that and we'll make
records. Do you know what
like
Marillion always make me think of? When we used to live in our old house and our neighbours got home and heard this noise. What's that? And they were like parked outside but playing Kaylee so loud that it was loud in the house. So it had gone through the windows weren't open of the car. So it's in the car, out into the open, then into our house, and it was still loud. So that's how loud it was. And then came out and then had just the biggest argument like next door. Do you remember? And
I don't think I was there, was I?
I don't know, but it was like a proper argument. So like, I wonder whether they were they arguing when Kaylee was playing, like, because they can't have been arguing when Kaylee was playing that loud, because you wouldn't be able to hear each other in the car. Like, there's no way, because it was that loud. So they got out of the car, they came in the house, and then had a huge argument. But maybe it's just interesting to know, well, where did the argument, or maybe they put on Kaylee thinking this will stop the argument, but it didn't. I don't know.
Maybe they were arguing about who was the better singer in Marillion.
Maybe.
Fish or Steve Hogarth.
Maybe.
Do you think now, whenever either of them hears Kaylee, they get a bit anxious?
Probably, because that wouldn't have been on the radio. That would have been on a CD or something in the car, wouldn't it? Because,
or maybe they were listening to like Absolute 80s. It was number two in the charts. It was a big hit.
But we listen to a lot of the radio, and when have you ever heard, when was the last time you heard that? It feels like the sort of song that wouldn't just turn up on the radio. It feels like the sort of song you'd listen to. So maybe it meant something to them. Who knows?
Maybe she was called Kaylee.
Maybe.
Okay, so we're coming to the end of our tight 40, but okay. there's just a few things.
You just swore me.
I did.
Not like that. You just flipped me off for no reason.
Well, rude. I mean, it's all this talk of Motley Crue, isn't it? I'm feeling a bit rebellious.
Well, behave yourself. It's me.
There's a article about Faster Pussycat.
Okay.
And there's just a couple of things I wanted to read about that. So what's the story behind a newly written song, Slip of the Tongue, then? I don't know what the hell Timey was writing about that. Timey Down was the singer. I don't know what the hell Timey was writing about there. Greg laughs. This is Greg.
Pussycat.
Greg Steele. Greg Steele is a good name.
Greg Steele is 50% a good name. It's a good one.
We should look up Greg Steele and see what his real name is.
What's his band name? Greg. You can call yourself Greg.
His real name's Alan Steele.
So he's really gone mental and called himself Greg.
I don't know what the hell Timey was writing about there. Greg laughs. Sounds dirty though, doesn't it? I don't know. It might be about anal sex. I'm not really too sure.
Lovely.
Yeah, I thought that was worth...
So this is a member of the band saying, I'm not sure, sounds dirty, might be about anal, let's sing it, cool, let's go. That is Greg all over.
Okay.
Fucking Greg.
So let's look at View from the Bar. I want to read an article from View from the Bar. 72-year-old heavy metal rock fan, Madge Main, has just been taken to court by a county council for allowing rock bands to rehearse in a hall that she owns. Even though the hall, an old gymnasium that used to belong to the Air Force in the Oxfordshire village of Ewelm, is 120 yards from the nearest house, neighbours' complaints about the noise forced the council last year to demand an end to the practice sessions by Madge's metal bands. She appealed against the decision. I enjoy it, and so do the lads, says the rocking granny. So why should we stop? Madge appeared in court on 29th of September. The outcome wasn't known at the time of going to press and still continues to allow bands to use her old hall. Some of the lads were willing to soundproof the hall, if that would help, but we don't know how much longer they will be able to use it after I go to court. If the court finds me, I won't have the money to pay and I'll have to go to prison, continued an angry but cheerful Madge. And I know I'm breaking the law. They're lovely, well-behaved lads who have nowhere else to rehearse. It seems silly to really.
Aww.
So that's a nice bit of human interest story. There's a letter. There's a PS on one of the letters. I won't read you the whole letter. Not very interesting. But PS, I have a solution to John Bon Jovi's stubble problem. Why not cut his fucking head off?
Oh, I mean, did he have a stubble problem? And right, mate. You okay, hun?
Finally, we get a Marillion article.
Finally,
it's not terribly interesting though. So we'll go into it in another time.
Can't wait.
Then Jericho, do you remember them? Mark Shaw.
Interesting name.
Not really a metal band.
Not like Greg.
So there's an article about Guns N' Roses, right? And they're talking about the fact that the record cover was... they have changed the record cover because it was deemed offensive. There's a sort of robot that looks like it's about to sexually assault a woman. And do you know that cover? So they changed it to the cross with the skulls. And
better.
The band have also hit trouble for the video for Welcome to the Jungle. MTV insisted that a scene which shows Steven Adler kissing a girl on the shoulder whilst in bed had to be edited out.
That sounds saucy.
I mean, it's saucy as hell.
Sounds highly romantic. Maybe it was just too romantic.
So I wanted to show you this picture of the band. So you've got Izzy Stradlin.
Mm-hmm.
He's just doing his nails, having a fag.
Yeah.
Slash is with a young lady who's got her arse out for no particular reason. Duff McKagan is just holding some chains.
Yeah, well.
And Steve Adler is just having a laugh with his drums, holding a cigarette. And Axl Rose, I mean, would you like to describe what's going on in this?
He's in a cowboy hat, hanging out with a dog.
I mean,
a dog that looks sort of like the sort of dog that would be on, like, it's a bit Pseudonymous. But it's a bit like, it looks like a dog that would be on Fraggle Rock or something. Yeah. But not the Fraggle Rock dog, not the sheep dog, but like it would be on Fraggle Rock. Like it's have a sort of funny personality because you can't see its eyes. That it's obviously that's quite funny. It would be quite a funny little character.
I thought that was just quite a sweet picture because you usually see Axl as the sort of troubled, angry person.
Just starts wailing on him.
Kicking the shit out of photographers and stuff. You just see. Like he's just smiling. He's got a little dog.
Well, everyone likes dogs.
So that's our issue of crying. Before we go, do you like food?
Yeah.
Okay. Give me a number between 1 and 230.
222.
Okay, so I'm going to read from Mosh Potatoes, which is the heavy metal cookbook, which I think was bought for us by musician Oliver Gardner, creator of the theme tune.
You should get the Coolio cookbook. Why is our cat eating something off the floor?
I mean, you know what they're like.
There wasn't food on the floor.
So we've got highly doubtful tea cake with very suspicious cream.
Unsubscribe from this. I don't want to eat something with suspicious cream. I literally never want suspicious cream anywhere near my mouth. Thank you.
It's a recipe from Emily Autumn, who I'm not familiar with. Emily Autumn. What makes this tea cake so very doubtful is the addition of fresh lavender.
Mm.
The historical meaning for this is distrust. So be careful whom you share your cake with.
Mm. Please. But what does that mean, that you would distrust those people, or they, because you've given them the cake? I'm confused. Read me the bit that explains why it's suspicious cream. And I don't like the way the cream's spelled.
Creme.
That makes it a bit more grim.
Serve your highly doubtful tea cake with a generous dollop of very suspicious creme, which you will bring into being as follows. Cream cheese, heavy cream, half a teaspoon chopped fresh lavender flowers, confectioner sugar, and 1 teaspoon pure vanilla extract.
Well, that sounds lovely.
Serve with tea cakes of all sorts, but especially highly doubtful ones. And this all seems like a private joke, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it sounds nice. I like lavender and stuff.
Sounds all right, doesn't it? Yeah, I mean, spoon the flowery goodness to your prepared loaf pan and bake for 15 minutes. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to make the highly doubtful tea cake with very suspicious cream, get your hands on a copy of Mosh Potatoes by Steve Seabury, Recipes, sure. Anecdotes, and Mayhem. And enjoy. And we're going to leave you now because it's the end of the episode. So subscribe to our Instagram.
Yeah.
Follow us on Threads.
Ooh, modern.
And Twitter if you must.
Send us an X. Oh,
you've been X'd. You've been, yeah. If you're Jamie Kennedy.
Jamie Kennedy experience.
We'll have to put that on the YouTube playlist. Follow us on YouTube. Download the podcast from Podbean. Write us a review on Apple Podcasts. There's
we
one.
We don't even want to download it from Podbean, do you? You want to do it from Spotify or Apple?
Or Spotify or Apple. Write us a review.
Well, who's on Podbean?
Well, that's where that's.
I know that's the main core, but it sends it out to more relevant things.
Should we just send people to Apple and Spotify then?
I would say so. Are we having a marketing meeting right now? I feel like we are. In which case, I'd say I never send people to Podbean. I send people to Spotify, Apple, because that's the.
But if you go on our Podbean, there's links to Apple and there's links to Spotify.
I know, but don't you need to be this is a marketing meeting. Don't you need to be signed into Podbean to see those?
I don't know.
I think you do.
No, it's just a web page, isn't it?
Let's. anyone taking minutes? Marketing minutes.
Remember to stay metal.
Yeah, stay metal. I said, what's your favourite episode of Friends? Let's talk about Friends. Tell me. Tell us.
What is your favourite episode of Friends?
That's a good question. I think the episode that's made me laugh the most was,
what you're going to say.
Ross's Ross's leather trousers.
Which is very metal.
Yeah, it is. Because when I saw that for the first time, because obviously now we know rewatching things, nothing's a surprise. When you watch that for the first time, that was very, very funny. So that was the one that made me laugh the most. But it's funny because obviously, we've gone into a Friends podcast again, but we're watching it and it does make you laugh still, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We're enjoying it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And this is like, We watched it all the way through not that long ago, really.
Yeah, and there was a point when it was on E4 and all you ever saw was Friends.
Yeah.
And I thought, I never want to watch Friends ever again. But we went back, we watched it, and I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah. But we started watching it again because I said I want to watch it, and it makes me think of autumn, and we're coming into autumn. So.
Lovely.
Yeah. But anyway, same metal.
And remember to watch Friends.
Santa, pass us that bottle, will you?